Lesson this morning is one that was requested by one of the members here, and I'm certainly glad that it was requested because it's something that I think is very, very important. Another box of evil has been opened in the state of Missouri, and we need to think about it, and we need to make sure that we understand it, and we need to make sure that we understand that this is not something that we can support or practice or any of those kinds of things. Our state has decided to legalize the recreational use of marijuana. I suspect that this was a campaign that was supported by the marijuana industry. And now we are going to be just like the state of Colorado. There will be marijuana sold all over the place. And it'll just be one more thing that parents have to deal with. And it's a sad situation. And I think I'm going to provide some information that will be helpful to everybody. I think young people need to be warned about this because I don't know where they're going to get any true information about it. I don't know that they teach that in public schools anymore, things to avoid participating in. And then, of course, it should be helpful to parents as they're dealing with youngsters who might be exposed to this or have friends who use this this particular drug. And, you know, what do you say to your child when you find out that one of their good friends smokes marijuana? And how do you address that? Well, sometimes people think, well, it's legal, so if it's legal, then I guess it's up to everybody's choice to decide if they want to participate or not. But not for the Christian. There's all kinds of things that are legal in our country, and even some legal in our state, that Christians cannot participate in. You think about gambling and all the damage and hurt that that causes people. Poor people who participate in gambling, and they just get more poor and more poor. Alcohol is legal, and yet we shouldn't participate in that. Adultery is legal, and nobody tries to justify committing adultery by saying, well, it's not illegal. Nobody would do that. That's ridiculous. And abortion in most states, the murder of unborn American children is legal in probably most of the states now, even though they now have the capacity to make it illegal. So the fact that something is legal is totally irrelevant to the Christian. That shouldn't even be in the argument. So if you hear that from your youngsters, then you can tell them that. Now, I want to talk to you right up front about what I'm not talking about. I'm not talking about the use of marijuana when it's prescribed by a regular doctor, not a hippie doctor, but a regular doctor for a regular diagnosable problem where there are clinical studies that show that marijuana can help with the side effects of chemotherapy, for example, and the alternative is giving people large amounts of narcotics. I think there are some clinical studies that show that marijuana could benefit some people who are just having some absolutely radical chemotherapy. And if a doctor prescribes it, that's something different. Now, I want to tell you that I do have some experience in this because when I was a JAG officer in the Navy, 1980 to 1982, I prosecuted sailors for the possession, for the sale and distribution of marijuana. Because the chief of naval operations says, you can't be in the Navy and smoke marijuana. He said, not in my Navy and not on my watch. And so those were my marching orders, and I made sure that those people who wanted to participate in that would now be civilians. Now, I don't know how much you know about marijuana. I'm going to talk a little bit about it up front. I wrote down if people are over 50, they may have no little knowledge. But I thought, no, that's right. Maybe if you're over 65, you don't have any knowledge. Because if you're over 50, you probably went to school with a bunch of people that used marijuana. But this is the information I'm going to give you about marijuana. This doesn't come from an anti-marijuana website or a pro-marijuana. This is scientific stuff, information that people need to know. First of all, what is marijuana? It is a psychoactive drug, meaning it affects your the psychology of you. And psychoactive, it is delivered by smoking, vaporizing, or sometimes you eat it in food. And there are both mental effects from using it, as well as physical effects. Okay, so we're going to talk about it. Why would somebody use a psychoactive drug? And the reason is people use it to have its primary effect, and that is a euphoria, a feeling really good and all at peace and that kind of stuff. And euphoria, as used in the medical literature, is an altered state of mind or an altered sense of time. That's scientific and medical definitions. That's what people want when they use marijuana. Now, in addition to that, it can also cause difficulty in concentration. And if you've ever been around people who would use a lot of marijuana, you're going to see this and you're going, well, yeah, I remember seeing that. Difficult concentration, impaired short-term memory, impaired balance, and increased appetite. They would say that they have the munchies. Sometimes dry mouth, red eyes, impaired driving. And here's the deal. It's going to be legal. And so people can be heavy users of this stuff. Heavy uses of it can cause a decline in IQ. It can cause people to give up on their life goals, no longer important to them, leaving school early. It can reduce their quality of life. And when somebody uses marijuana, particularly in smoking it, you have an onset within minutes of smoking marijuana. You begin to feel the effects of it. And the physical effects can also be an increased heart rate, and it can be difficult to breathe. And sometimes people even have nausea from it. And so, and yet people continue to use it. So those are some of the effects. Now, here's another thing. A high dose of marijuana can cause anxiety, delusions, pain, paranoia, and psychosis. Also increase respiratory infections. Now, that's people smoke cigarettes and they have an increase of respiratory infection. So marijuana has that same effect. If you're going to smoke it, if you're going to take a foreign subject and put it in your lungs, that's going to cause you to have some problems. THC stays in your blood for weeks. We used to do random urinalysis in the Navy, and we could detect if you'd used marijuana in the last 30 days. And I would have an expert, a toxicologist, come and testify. And because one of the major defenses was people said, well, I went to a rock concert and all the people around me were smoking marijuana, and this must be secondary use of marijuana. I just took a deep breath and look what happened. And my toxicologist say, not at this amount. You would have had to have a whole big sack full of that smoke and put it over your head to have the amount that we found in your blood. There is a book that's used by psychiatrists and psychologists called the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. And this is a really cool book because you can look up people's symptoms, you know, their quirks and their problems, psychological problems, and then you can actually make a diagnosis. I've done that before, made diagnoses about people. I know what's wrong with this person. It's this. But it's the DSM. That's what we call it. 1994, the fourth edition, DSM-4, said 9% of users of marijuana become dependent. Now, it doesn't say what kind of dependent. There's basically two kinds of dependency. There's one that's a physical dependency, and that means your body gets used to it. And then if you stop using it all of a sudden, your body's going to do something to you. Now, in alcohol, my dad was an alcoholic, and especially in his later years, anytime he was checked into the hospital, I would have to tell them, you need to watch out for DTs, delirium tremens, because if he's going to be in here for a period of time, he's going to drop off of the alcohol use and his body's going to do bad things to it. And I had to tell him that. But there's also an emotional dependency. And this is probably the primary one that people that use marijuana get. They get to a point where they no longer feel comfortable socially or maybe even at work unless they have a buzz, unless they recently smoked marijuana. That becomes their normal life and they can't handle not having it. That's an emotional problem. And so they believe that they need to do that every day. And I've known people who've had that problem. Well, here's another interesting thing. DSM-5 came out, and when it talks about an adolescent using marijuana, it is even more significant. It says in DSM-5 that when adolescents use marijuana, you will expect to see poor academics, even though they were really good students before. You'll see an attitude of rebellion. You'll also see poor parental relationships because of their smoking of marijuana. And it increases the risk of depression and anxiety. So people who smoke marijuana sometimes think, well, hey, I feel so good that I don't have anxiety anymore. Well, yes, you do. There are 50 known carcinogens that have been identified in cannabis smoke. So just like cigarettes, you're going to use it enough and you'll get lung cancer. The scary thing, I think, is that back in the 60s was a big dope period. Well, the content of marijuana has increased. In other words, the potency has increased worldwide from 1970 to 2009. So the stuff that they're smoking now in Colorado and soon in your neighborhood is much more powerful, much stronger. Here's an interesting statistic. After Colorado legalized the abuse of the use of marijuana, they had a 25% increase of emergency room visits for acute psychiatric effects. Think about that. You just legalize something that makes people's lives much worse. And the main psychological effect that they had was suicidal ideation. That's where people are thinking about all the time, thinking about killing themselves. How can I kill myself? I don't like my life anymore. I want to do away with it. Those are suicide ideations. So you might think, okay, that's a lot of interesting information. So why in the world would anybody do this? Why? It doesn't make sense. And it doesn't. But from now on, what I'm going to be talking to you about is, what does God say about it? What does he say for Christians? And, you know, your youngsters, if you're trying to talk to them about this, they might say, well, it didn't say anywhere in the Bible that thou shalt not smoke marijuana. Yes, there's a whole bunch. I can give you a list of 50 things that the Bible doesn't say don't do this, but clearly we don't. In Galatians 5, and this isn't one of them that's on the chart, this is just for an illustration, that it's not just what people put in the list of evils. When Paul writes to churches and he says, a Christian cannot do this, this is stuff of the flesh, we can't do this, he doesn't list every possible thing. Notice what he says to the Galatians, in Galatians 5, verse 19. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts, angers, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing. You know what carousing is? Look it up in your minds. And things like these. This isn't an exhaustive list. The stuff that's like this, and certainly the use of marijuana is like that. All right, so what can we talk about? What does God say? If he doesn't say thou shalt not smoke marijuana, what can we look to for how he feels about these things? Well, first of all, our minds, let's back up one. John, can you back up to the previous? There we go. All right. So our minds and bodies do not belong to us if we're Christians. They belong to Jesus. In Romans 12 and verse 1, this is a passage I'm sure you're familiar with. It says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Present our bodies. And the classic example of this is what Paul said in Galatians 2 and verse 20 when he talked about his life. I used to be Saul of Tarsus, but now Christ lives in me. And that's what we have. And then he goes on and says, don't be conformed to this world. Don't pay attention to what the world's doing and all the destructive things that they do. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Don't mess up your mind. Your mind is supposed to be used to be a dwelling place of God. Now, there's a couple of definitions I want to talk about because we're going to look at several verses that use the words sober or mind. I want to make sure we understand this. When we talk about sober, we're talking about more than just the absence of getting drunk. Sober means, if it's a noun, it means a sound mind. You have control over your mind. You dictate what you think about. It also can be translated self-control, which a Christian must have. When it's a verb, it means free from influence of intoxicants. There's one translation of the Bible that says that when it comes to this particular word in the verb form, it says free of the influence of intoxicants. When it's an adverb, it talks about, it means self-restraint that controls all passions and desires, enabling self to conform to the mind of Christ. All right. Now let's talk about what it means when it talks about mind. Guard your mind, for example. When it's a noun, it means the mind means your faculties of perception and understanding. When you have a buzz because you've been smoking marijuana all day, it affects your perception and understanding. It also means, as a noun, moral reflection. As a verb, it means moral interest or reflection. Sometimes the phrase call to mind, sound mind, sober mind, self-control. All of those things in those two words. That's God talking to us and telling us about these things. And the use of marijuana adversely affects all of those things. Now, think about this. John tells us that everything that is in the world is not good. And we shouldn't strive after things in the world. In 1 John 2 and verse 15, John says, don't love the world, nor the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, that the love of the Father is not in him. Well, what do people who use marijuana, alcohol, and all these other things, are they loving God in that practice? He says in verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, it's not from the Father, but from the world. So think about that. Lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And so here we are in a battle against Satan, and we are going to participate in the use of marijuana, and we're going to be bombarded by all of these temptations that Satan sends our way, and we're equipped to battle with him if we are doing things like smoking marijuana. And then the second thing, our bodies are not our own. Our bodies are not our own. So who do they belong to? When we become a Christian, our bodies are for the use by God. What Paul wrote to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16, he said, do you not know that you are a temple of God, a temple, a dwelling place of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy. Think about that. Our lives are supposed to be used in the service to God. The Spirit dwells in us, and we're going to pollute it? We're going to participate in that? Well, over in the sixth chapter, Paul still talks about this. He says you can't join your body to a harlot. That makes sense. He's talking about that. You can't do that. Your body's not your own. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19, he says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you're not your own? I don't have a right to abuse my body by putting things in it that alter my mind and my perception. And then he says, for you have been bought with a price, a huge price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Well, let's look at Romans, the 13th chapter. When Paul wrote to the church at Rome, he made a comment here that is helpful to us. Romans 13 and 13. He says, let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing. And that, by the way, that Greek word can mean drunken parties and drunkenness, nor in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife or jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh. Make no provisions for the flesh. That means don't do something that's going to put you in a situation where you might give in to temptation. And when you're using marijuana, you're not thinking straight. You're not making wise decisions a lot of times. Don't do anything that's going to dull your judgment. Don't be around people who are going to influence you to make poor judgments. Don't do anything that's going to make it easier for you to give in to temptation. First Corinthians 15. Verse 33. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Become sober-minded. Okay, that's what we're talking about, sober-minded, as you ought. And stop sinning, for some have no knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. And the use of marijuana is not in harmony with being sober-minded with God and all of his blessings. Now, let me give you an illustration. I remember back in the, probably not in the 50s, but the 60s, one of the things that was abused oftentimes was tranquilizers. You know, there wasn't all the drugs that we have today, but tranquilizers. And today, those would be things like Valiums and Xanax. But that's prescribed as medication. But those things have serious side effects. And the serious side effects that you have from those drugs are the same purpose for smoking marijuana. That's what you're looking for. So these drugs are prescribed to reduce mental tension, or you have an anxiety problem or things like that. And so here's what you do. You go to the doctor. The doctor examines you. The doctor makes a legitimate medical diagnosis. He prescribes medication for you, and then over a period of time, he monitors that, okay? That's all reasonable. But what is it with marijuana that causes some of the same side effects? Marijuana is now going to be legal. You're going to buy it whenever you want and use it for whatever purpose you want, and no doctor is monitoring you. So you are abusing something that can have a very bad effect on your mind. No doctor, no monitoring. You just really want the side effects that are similar to those that come from those medications, legitimate medications. All right, so let's look at another thing. God commands self-control. He commands that we have control of our minds and our bodies. So, Titus, the first chapter in verse 8. Now, this is a list of things that are requirements of being an elder. And so you might say, well, I don't want to be an elder anyway. I don't want to smoke my marijuana. But in Titus 1 and verse 8, it says, hospitable, loving what is good, sensible, just, devout, and self-controlled. Having yourself self-controlled, keeping your mind clear, looking at things objectively, and making good decisions. In Titus 2 and verse 2, it says, older men are to be temperate. You know what temperate means? Again, it means self-control. You have control over your body. And it's talking about all kinds of self-control. Be temperate. And then in Titus 2 and starting with verse 11, it says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing them to deny ungodliness and worldly desires. And wanting to use marijuana is clearly a worldly desire. To live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. I've never seen anybody that uses marijuana that is living a life that is godly. And I don't think anybody that does that would make that claim that they are. Well, let's look at another one. This is interesting. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1, he says, but realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self. I want to do what I want to do. It's legal now. I want to use it. That's a lover of self. Lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers. Notice this, disobedient to parents, ungrateful and unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control. Look at that. Somebody who does not have self-control, does not take care of his decision-making abilities, is lumped in there with all of those other things. And it's interesting to me that Paul tells this to Timothy. And these are some of the same things that the DSM-5 talks about, especially when adolescents use marijuana. They're disobedient to their parents. They are without self-control. And when they see how destructive it is to their family, they don't care. They want to use it anyway because they're lovers of self. Then in 1 Thessalonians 5, the passage that Carlos read for us, 1 Thessalonians 5, 4 through 8. Okay, well, I'm going to read Thessalonians. I better get out of Timothy. 1 Thessalonians 5, 4 through 8. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you as a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. You are not of night nor darkness. That's good. You're walking in the light. Verse 6. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. Let's pay attention. Why? Because we are subjected to temptations. Verse 7, for those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. Verse 8, but since we are of the day, let us be sober. And what that means is self-controlled. Self-controlled. I'm not giving in to what the world says is now legal and fun. And, you know, I'm telling you, high schools are real concerned about the legalization of marijuana. Some of the schools in the Northland have got a coalition together, and they're trying to figure out some way to teach high school kids never to participate in what now the wisdom of apparently the majority of people in the state think it ought to be legal. 1 Peter 1 and verse 3, I'm sorry, 13. Peter says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be ready. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Fix your mind for action. Now, I want you to think about this a minute. We do spiritual battle with Satan every day. And we're in the trenches fighting off Satan's temptations by this group of the Lord's army right here. I can tell you in real life, in war, you don't want to go out and face the enemy when the people beside you are high on drugs or intoxicated. You don't want that. You want the people next to you who are going to fight this battle with you to be sober so that their attentions are focused on what's at hand. Prepare yourself to do battle with Satan. That's what we're talking about. And you can't do that if you're under the influence of drugs. All right, I got one more section of scripture to read for you, and then the lesson will be yours. Going back to 1 Peter again, down in chapter 5, we'll pick it up at verse 8. Again, Peter says, be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Okay? This means we need to be sober, self-controlled. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. We're going out and do battle. We need to be prepared for it. Not high on marijuana. And then if you go up into verse 6 and 7, notice this. Peter says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all of your anxiety upon him, for he cares for you. You know, if you do have some anxiety in your life, have you tried to cast that on Jesus? Have you learned to completely trust in Jesus? Have you learned to let him help you control your lives? Have you come to know his love? Do you know his word? All of that can be learned. But for some people, the easier way is to just go buy some marijuana and have a buzz. You need to seek Jesus. Lay your cares and concerns on him and let him help you and let his people help you. Stand on your own two feet. Don't give in. You don't need mind-altering substances to be happy or to have peace. If you think that's true, then you need to go back and work on that, because that's not normal. You don't need to run for your problems in a bottle of booze or in a bag of marijuana. You can find that yourself. If you look for it honestly, if you look at this subject honestly and objectively, you'll see that marijuana causes much more problems than any kind of help with any of your problems. Well, I hope this has been helpful to you. I hope, you know, I was thinking some of you may have some personal experience with marijuana. And if you think I've misstated any of the things that marijuana can do, you can tell me, but I'm thinking that you probably wouldn't want to tell me that. But it kills me that somehow a majority of people in this state thought it would be a good idea to do this. You know why? Because a vast majority of them didn't stop and think, how's this going to affect other people? How's it going to affect our young people? How is it going to affect them? They didn't think about that. Many of them just said, well, I want to use this stuff. Me. It's all about me, not how it affects society. And for Christians, we always ought to ask that question. Forget about what I personally want. What is good for other people? What is good for our nation? And it's not this. And it's not gambling. And yet they snuck that one by us as well. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, I would encourage you to think about your condition, because he is willing to forgive you of all your sins and give you what we call a do-over. You can start fresh. That's a wonderful thing. If you're subject at all to the invitation, please come as we sing the invitation song.